have a request, man. I want you to stand because we're going to pray. And it goes right along with this, what we've been singing, Miracle. My daughter, Margarita Selena Fuentes, is in the hospital facing a battle. And that the doctors say things are not going to get much better. But we're going to pray for her in the name of Jesus. Ruben Jr. Fuentes and Miguel Angel Fuentes, they're going through a battle. Amen. They need Jesus. They need your prayer, my prayer. We need the miracle. If you need a miracle, raise your hand right now. Raise it higher, and we're going to pray. The church is powerful. The church is great. And the Spirit of the Lord is there. That's why we came. Isn't it what the song says? That's why we're here in the name of Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, my goodness, my God, my gracious Lord, we're asking for the miracle upon the Fuentes family. In the name of Jesus, honor Sister Adela's prayer requests, Lord, in this wonderful time of worship and praise. Your church, Lord, has been called out, oh, to do such a time as this, oh God. We're asking you in the name of Jesus. We can see it happening. We can feel it happening. That's just the way you are, Lord. Let's thank him right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, choir. Thank you, Jesus. You may be seated. Thank you very much. I'd like to continue with the theme of miracles. We went on vacation in July, and you know, some of you that fly, you know what jet lag is. You're worried about getting on the plane. You're worried about packing. You're worried when you get to the airport. And I've lost my cell phone at the airport, and they're calling me. Oh, it's just a travel is pretty tough. And the jet lag, once you get there, your luggage and all of that. And what happened is we had a rental car, and my wife fell asleep at the wheel. When we both woke up, because I was asleep too, we were in the middle of a soybean. And I yelled at her, please apply the brakes, because she was still asleep, even in that condition. The Lord liberated us. We went a little ways, but it was a two-lane traffic. We could have gone the other way. But I really believe that God, Baraja said the other day, if he's done a miracle, share that miracle. And I'm telling you, that was a miracle of God. Amen. Miracle of God. Amen. And since then, my wife is real interested in life insurance. So I don't blame her for that way. Amen. Amen. But I just believe that God has that protective angels, those angels around. It doesn't mean we're not going to get into trouble. Doesn't mean things aren't going to, but still he'll protect us and he'll guide us in the name of Jesus. That's just the way the Lord is. That's the way the Lord is. Amen. You're going to have to put up with me a little bit here because I'm going to try to sing. And this song has always touched my heart. I was going to a little church in Michigan years ago, and they had a little choir. But they sang this little powerful song. And if you go home or you want to Google it, it's called Calvary, Oh, What It Means to Me. The Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir sings it. Don't do it now because, you know, I won't compete with them. But it talks about Calvary. And it says, oh, what it means to me since Jesus set me free. I think of Calvary, Jesus' blood. Oh, what a precious blood. He did it all for me on Calvary. And that's what we want to talk about today, about redemption, the road to redemption. And You know, that's we need to have it really deep in our being, in our existence. You know, there's a term that's called, I practice it, but I don't know if I could, sensationalism. It's like emotion. It's like, if I can go to church and I feel good, I'm good. I feel good. I feel saved. I feel God's in control. And it's the level of just emotion. And you know what? You're not supposed to trust your emotions. Don't live by your emotions. You know, don't talk to me before I have my first cup of coffee, because, you know, hey, I'm emotional at that time. I'm down. But it's beyond that. Our experience needs to be deeper than emotion. It needs to be anchored in faith. Even though I'm going through this, I'm going through that, maybe I don't feel good, maybe I'm sick, but I'm anchored in the power by faith. And this is what we want to draw from, not the emotion. The emotional stuff is good, you know. You can watch a football game and they jump and they shout and it's really emotional. Hey, but you know, that's good to jump and shout, I think, but it's got to come down from the inner part of your being and existence, that when there is no shout, when there is no, that I can still praise God and feel Him. And this is what was. This is what we want to drive at Calvary, to remember Calvary and to know that it was for me, it was for you, and you've got to personalize it. You know, we can personalize it for other people. Oh yeah, for her, for him. Oh yeah, they. No, but for you, you've got to accept it, personalize it, and say it's mine. I got to. Calvary, oh, what it means to me, since Jesus set me free, I think of Calvary. Jesus' blood, oh, what a precious blood, He did it all for me. On Calvary, Calvary, oh, what it means to me, since Jesus set me free, I think of Calvary. Jesus' blood, oh, what a precious blood, He did it all for me at Calvary. You know, you look at the word Calvary, and in Spanish, Calvario, it means calavera. It means death. It does mean the hill of a skull. Calavera is the skull, and it talks about death, suffering, and we have to really understand that it was this need, and our verse today. The title of my lesson, I think I have to turn it on first. Yeah, by George. The title of my lesson today is Nailing It to the Cross. Nailing It to the Cross. I like that term that we use, I nailed it, or he nailed it, she nailed it. It's a pretty common term, but today it's in the Bible. Nailing it to the cross. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 13, 14, and this is what it says. You are dead because of your sins and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. And my emphasis today is going to be that when Adam sinned, he became no longer the same Adam that God created. But what happened is that sin came into the world. Sin was introduced into the world. There was no sin before Adam. There was no death before Adam. There was no gray hairs before Adam. There was no need for glasses. Nobody got old. Can you imagine this not getting old? I like the way Brother Martinez said, I'm 70 years old. I don't know how many times he said it when he spoke. I'm 70, Brother Victor. And I'm not going to tell you how old I am. But can you imagine that? No cavities. No arthritis. No sickness. No cancer. No nothing. That's the way it was in the beginning. But then death came. Sin came. The degeneration began to happen. And sin abound. Sin abounds in us and those people, those individuals that do not know Christ. And then it says, then God made you alive with Christ. So you were dead. We were dead. And yet we are now alive. Yeah, we still have the physical limitations. Yes, we're still suffering with this, but we're alive inside. You're an eternal being having a human experience. You're an eternal being having an earthly experience. You're on your way somewhere else, except you had to stop here and eat frijoles and arroz and spaghetti. Well, yeah, but we're on our way somewhere. We're eternal. We're going to live forever. I can't wait for that. Amen. In the name. Woo. Why? Then Jesus made you alive with Christ. For he forgave all our sins. He forgave all your sins. The devil doesn't want that. The devil makes you want to believe that, oh, you're still bad. Remember this, remember that. But he says he cleansed it. He washed it. All canceled. Canceled the record of the charge. Some of you have gone to court. Some of you have had legal matters. I used to work for the county in Modesto, and I used to always go to the court. I had people I was trying to teach, and they were found incompetent to stand trial, and I had to teach them how to understand what's going on, understand their charges, and sometimes the judge would say, in the interest of justice, this case is dropped. In the interest of justice, this case is dropped. And that person walks away free from the charges. So when it's talking about we had charges against us, yes, because we were no longer of that quality of Adam. We had sin. And what did he do with that? He canceled the record of charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. Now we've seen pictures of the Roman soldiers nailing the Lord, but here it says he nailed it to the cross. Jesus himself nailed himself to the cross. Jesus himself took on the punishment for us to pay the debt, to bring us back from that fallen nature to the divine nature. Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, I ask you your blessing upon me, upon all those that may be bored also, that they may have a glimpse of something through your word, that you anoint our ears. And God, just bless us. And those miracles that are already happened, we thank you for those. Anoint my lips in the name of Jesus. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Then the Lord God formed, that is, he created the body of man from the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living being, an individual complete in body and in spirit. And this is what I'd like to talk about today, the breath of God. Whew. The breath of God. The DNA of Adam was God. We all have DNA. My DNA is that my family has heart problems, and my sister right now is in hospital waiting to get open heart surgery because it's a common thing. My dad, my mom, my uncles, my sister, and me, we all had open heart surgeries. It's in our DNA. It's like, that's the way it is. Now, Adam had the DNA of God. If we took, and that's a funny thing, you know, some funny guys that, you know, they have a lot of these nasty questions that aren't really biblical, and they go, hey, did Adam have a belly button? No, Adam didn't have a belly button. No, he was created from the dust of the earth, and God blew into his nostril, and he became a living soul. That, oh, he was walking around, that he had it. Why, he is considered, amen. Go to the next one. It's, who was the son of Enos, who was the son of Seth, who was the son of Adam, who was the son of God. He was the son of God. Can you imagine that? Being called, who's your dad? Oh, God. Oh, yeah. Is it in your DNA? Yes, it's in my DNA. So he was the son of God. And this is the way God intended it to be. The spirit that was in him, the DNA that was in him, his blood was the blood of God. Would you not think? If God was his father, then his blood had to be from God. You know, blood is the Bible says that life is in the blood. But when he fell, but when he disobeyed, but when he sinned, somebody else was introduced into the equation, the devil. He came in. You know, the beautiful thing about Adam and Eve was that the Bible says that Adam was not deceived. He wasn't tricked by the devil. You know what his problem was? And he told God, the woman you gave me. He even blamed God. He blamed the woman, but he also blamed God. He says, the woman that you gave me, she gave me to eat and I ate it. So really, if you stop to think about what happened there, was that Adam's love for his spouse, Adam's attraction to his wife, and he says, I'm going to obey her. I know, but God has told us not to eat. Yes, but Eve had already eaten it. Eve had already gone to the mall and bought that dress Why? Because it was beautiful and good to the eyes, and it attracted the three things: the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And when she came back, she was different. She was different. So Adam said, oh, you're going to die. I want to die with you. And that's why he ate and partook of that fruit, so he could be with her in the same condition. It's a little cute story, but it's reality. So, hey, it's like God didn't know. So God comes down and he says, Adam, where art thou, Adam? Where was Adam? He was hiding. He had shame. He saw that they were naked. He covered himself up with fig leaves, and he was there under the bush, the tree, and God's calling. God knew exactly where he was. That's when death came, brothers and sisters. That's when death came. And they had to be redeemed. God had to buy us back. This is what happened, is that he lost us. He lost the human race. He lost Adam and Eve. And he had to have a plan of redemption. He had to redeem us. He had to buy us back. Redemption is, I know when I was a kid, I would collect bottles, Coke bottles, Pepsi bottles. My uncle would bring me their bottles, and I would go to the grocery store and I would redeem them for money. They do that now, I think. You take your cans. That's what you call a redemption center. You go and redeem it. When I was a kid too, they had S&H green stamps. Some of you might remember those. You go to the grocery store and they give you, for bonus, they give you stamps, and you would lick them and put them on this little book, and it depends on how many books you had. You could get a toaster. You could get a coffee pot, because you redeemed that. You know, you got it. Jesus says, I got to redeem them. I got to buy them back. I got to give them the same experience that Adam had. I have to do something. Number one, he killed a lamb and dressed them. They were with figs. They were with fig leaves covered up. God says, no, I need to shed some blood. That's a sacrifice for you, Adam. For you, Eve. And he covered them. He clothed them with animal skin. It's a type of the blood of Jesus. Ah. And that's why John says that Jesus said, you are of your father, the devil. Ooh, ooh. You ever hear that expression? We're all sons of God. Jesus saying, no, you're not. We're all sons of God and daughters of God. God is God. No, you're not. No, we're not. Jesus says, you're just sons of the devil. How in the world can somebody be son of the devil? Is it in our DNA? Our DNA, oh my goodness, DNA in our flesh is of the enemy. We had the DNA of God, now we don't have the DNA of God. We had another father. He says, you are the father, the devil. And it is your will to practice the lust and gratify the desires, which are the characteristics of your father. I don't know why I do these things. It's because it's in you to do the fleshy things. I don't know why I do this. I don't know why I crave for this. I don't know why. Why? Because it's in there. So also it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living person. He He became a living person, and just from one man. You know, I think about that one man, and back in the day, back in the 80s, there was a big concern about AIDS. There was no AIDS before the 80s. But they said something happened, and back in the day, I can't really tell you how AIDS came to be, but they said that it came from a monkey. And all of a sudden, people started to get AIDS. Started with one man. And then now, just a few years back, as we all have experienced, COVID-19. Started with a bat, supposedly. One man, one person. And from that one person, look what happened. We couldn't even come to church. We had to wear masks. We had to sit home. You know, when COVID was, you drive down the freeway, you'd get a ticket for being out in public. One man. So you can fully understand this concept that by one man, Adam, everybody is sin. Everybody became sin. As it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living soul. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. Let's praise the Lord for that one. All right. So this is where we have to believe that by Jesus coming, He converted things. He translated everything into life, spirit-giving. Is it possible? Yes, through one man, sin, and through one man, life-giving. So if I can accept that, that's why we say, accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. It's accept his sacrifice, his blood, all Calvary, what it means to me. He did it all for me. At Calvary. Listen to what else it says. Paul's saying, and though we were dead in our offenses and sins in which we formerly lived according to this world, this present path, according to the ruler of the domain of the air, the ruler of the spirit that now energizes the sons of disobedience. Why do people do that? It's because they have that energy. They are living in the world that has rulers. For we fight not against what? Flesh and blood, but against principalities that are in the air. They're here. Why? We have to fight again. In Spanish it says the current, la corriente, the current. We were just floating down the river, just like everybody else, just like everything else. We were floating. Why? That was our nature. Oh, but it says, disobedient, living in our own cravings of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and the mind. We were by nature children of wrath. We were people that were angry all the time. Amen. Romans. So that as sin reigned in death, so also grace should reign through righteousness, which brings eternal life through Jesus Christ. Adam, sin, now we're dead, now we've got to be relived again. We've got to be revived again. How are we going to do that? We're going to do it through the blood of Jesus Christ. He reigned through death, so also grace will reign. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead also came through a man. For just as Adam all died, so also in Christ we will all be able to live again. But we have to take that step of faith. This is what we're all about. We're about faith. We get baptized in water. That water represents blood, the blood of Jesus. Not our blood, not any blood. It's good old H2O, right? But the symbolism, You're doing it because you have faith that if you get baptized, and that's called born again. Okay, that's a key word right there, born again. Someone mentioned the other day, how can I be born again? Do I go back and physically do it, Brother Ernie? Can I? No, it's through faith. We are justified by faith. Why? By believing that that blood, that water is the blood of Jesus, and we're washed. So we have a new life. We live a new experience. We're washed. That's what it's all about. Amen. I don't know. I was baptized in 1965. I don't know how long that is. That's before the flood, isn't it? It's like a long time ago, huh? Washed in the precious blood of, and now I proclaim the blood of Jesus. I crave the blood of Jesus. I praise to that blood of Jesus. The miracles of the blood of Jesus. It cleanses us from all unrighteousness. It's the blood that it's a covenant. The covenant that he made with us. If you do this, I will do this. So then, through that man, and all things of God, who hath reconciled us to himself. Okay, now, I always use the analogy of baking a cake. I don't know how many of you bake cakes, but I'm a homemaker now. The sweetest words that I hear is, don't worry, honey, I'll wash them. Okay, yeah. So I make cakes. I like baking cakes, and I do it in the winter, not in the summer, and cookies and all that kind of stuff. And anyway, you sit there and you make the cake. I don't make it from scratch. No, I buy the box. Yeah, I'm not that big of a, I buy the box, put the eggs in the water, the milk or the butter, whatever it is, and I make the cakes. I put bundt cake sometimes, flat cake sometimes, round cake sometimes. Okay, but I sit down and I eat it. I mean, shouldn't you? Shouldn't you be able to? If you're going to give a cake, make one for you. Take it to the share group. Yeah, have some for you. Okay. So, Jesus died on the cross, he shed his blood, that he could reconcile us to him. He says, I want you for me. He says, I want to reconcile you to, that's what it says, to himself. He wanted you for himself. He wants your life for himself. He wants you. You're precious in his sight. And he says, I'll reconcile it. I'll forgive you for me. I want you. You don't feel like a purpose in life? You gotta get right with Jesus. And Jesus says, you're my friend. And I always go back to my childhood and the songs we used to sing, and it was always about the blood. There's power in the blood, power, hay poder en la sangre, hay poder, the blood and the blood and the blood. It really didn't mean anything until I really realized. You can sing all you want until you start realizing the miracles, the power of God, and you can worship him. You can praise him. Why? Because of the power there is there. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other can compare. Y conmigo está, y conmigo. I don't know what else, but that's the Spanish version of it. Why? Because I'm his. I belong to him. He bought me with a price. And I have his blood flowing in my veins. I have his DNA. I have him in blood in me. Amen. Oh, look at this. To wit, that God was in Christ, Hey, there we go again. God was in Christ. Where did Christ come from? He was born from a virgin. The Holy Ghost, the Bible says, the Holy Ghost would shadow over her, and she would conceive. And that what she would have, that's the holy thing. You know, some Bible says the holy thing that was from her, that Jesus, you'll be Son of God. Oh gosh, we have Adam, the Son of God, and now we have Jesus, the Son of God. And he that believeth and is baptized gives him the power to be called what? The sons of God. Why? Because you were born again. You were born of the world. And when you took on the name of Jesus, the DNA of Jesus is in us. It's in your veins. To wit, God was in Christ reconciling the world unto, again, himself. Not to anybody else. He just didn't want you to feel good. He wanted you to live forever. But that's why Paul says, to me to die, to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Why? Because I don't live in this world. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Ya no este mundo no puede ser mi hogar. Why? Because we're going through, brother and sister. Oh, I can't wait. Can't wait. Can you wait? To be in the coffin? No. Yes, it's like, man, Christ is coming, and we're going to live forever. Yeah, this body's going to die, but we're going to go. We live up there already. Heavenly places. That's why the Bible says, talks about heavenly places. You and I are like angels all already experiencing the heavenly places in Christ. Ephesians, please read Ephesians, and talks about the heavenly places. Why? To wit, it says, and not imputing their trespasses upon them, and hath committed unto them the word of reconciliation. The path of redemption. That's what you and I have. Please don't keep this to yourself. Please share this. Somebody's going through some trouble at work. Somebody's going through. Just say, you know, I'll pray for you. Pray for you. I have a very good friend of mine that he was my boss years ago. Now we reconnect and we go to breakfast once a month. Yeah, this Thursday we're going to go to breakfast. I get a coupon on Groupon, you know, the whole mill in Modesto. This week he texts me, he says, Aaron, I think my wife has cancer. And then he says, she's afraid to die. She's afraid to die. It's sad. It's hard. When you don't have that hope. I mean, this is it. This life is it. That's it. But when we have Christ, we have the hope of glory. The hope of glory. Tengo una esperanza. Allá, oh, puros cantos ahora. Oh, Lord, my God, help us, Lord. Amen. But the angel made this reply to her. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Your child will therefore be called holy, the Son of God. The DNA was part Mary, but part God. Mostly God. Mary did her part, you know, but he was a son of God. Man, and that's beautiful because we know that he was God. That same spirit bears witness unto our spirit that we are, what? sons of God. I hope you believe that today. I hope that's in your DNA today. I hope when you look in the mirror, you say, I'm a son of God. I'm a daughter of God. Because why? We are. The Spirit gives us testimony that when we are the sons of God, when you sit here, when you're at home, when you pray, when you're driving and you're speaking in tongues, it's your spirit. Because when somebody speaks in tongues, the Bible says they are speaking to God. So don't find it odd that there's people that are mumbling and jumbling because their spirit, they're talking to God. Why? Because their spirit gives witnesses, the same spirit that gives witnesses that they are the sons of God. We have the power. The miracles are here. The breath of life is here. You have the breath of life. He gathered his disciples. He was there. John 20:22. And when he had said this, he breathed on them. What does that remind you of? The breath he breathed in the nostrils of Adam, and he became a living soul. So now in his life, and he breathes in them and on them. And he says to them this wonderful thing, receive ye the Holy Ghost. In the day of Pentecost, they were gathered, 120, they were gathered in one accord, in one mind. And all of a sudden, there came a sound as of a rushing wind that filled the house. And they began to speak in other tongues. He blew the Holy Ghost. He blew the power. He blew the energy in us that we are the sons of God. We are. You are the sons of God, the children of God. Please teach that to your children. Please let your children go beyond the emotion. You young kids, instead of watching these crazies lift up and dance and all of that, I know I used to do that. Look at sister such and such. Look at her. Whoa, and young juniors, young men, young high schoolers, instead of just watching with your cynicism and your criticism, get in there and say, I want that. I want what my mom has. I want what my dad has. Why do we go to church so much, Dad? Why do we go to church every Sunday, Dad? Mom, you get in it. You believe in God. Speak in those powerful words. You are the Son of God. Get away from the emotion and get deeper into the power. The power. And he gave them gifts. And then it goes on and on and on and build up. He gave them so much. Oh. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. But the blood of goats and bulls, the ashes of young cows sprinkled on those who defiled consecration, consecrating them and proved them pure. How much more? The blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself up without a blemish to God, purifying our conscience from dead works, worship the living God. Beyond controversy, there is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. Oh, God is here. The miracles are here. I'm about to close. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood. Amen. Okay. You are a royal priesthood. You got to believe you're a priest. You got to believe that. You're a priest not only of your family, but you're a priest of your life. That you can just exercise. Because we can come boldly before the throne room of God. Boldly, like we have authority to be there. We have the right to be. We don't need intercessory. We can go right in there. Why? You are a royal. This is who you are. This is the benefit of it. A holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light. I borrowed this from our pastor. He preached the message 8 years ago or so. And I really like this. What an awesome responsibility to have eternal destiny left up to you. Left up to each of us. You're responsible. You're responsible for the blood of Jesus. What are you going to declare? What are you going to declare before God when he tells you, what did you do with my blood? What did you do with my sacrifice? You would hear about Christ everywhere. Doesn't matter what kind of persuasion you have. You know, you've heard. He's going to ask, what have you done with my blood, with my sacrifice? Have you become my son? Have you accepted me? Have you been adopting my lifestyle? He's going to ask you. So it's going to be up to you to decide, to make that decision for eternity. Oh, where will you spend eternity? Remember the old song, Sister Sylvia? Excuse me. Eternity, eternity. Where will you spend eternity? It's going to depend on you. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We love you for your love and your grace, your mercy. We thank you that you have given us the opportunity to hear of your blood and the redemption, the cost of the cross. Lord, we thank you that you've given us this opportunity to be called your sons, daughters. We are here because we love you. Calvary, oh, what it means to me. Since Jesus set me free, I think of Calvary, Jesus' blood. Oh, what a precious blood. He did it all for me on Calvary. Can you help me? Can you sing it just as you're seated? Calvary, oh, what it means to me since Jesus set me free. I think of Calvary, Jesus' blood. Oh, what a precious blood. He did it all for me on Calvary. Amen. Could we please stand at this time? And I'm going to invite you for many things. Number one, if you need a miracle. And if not only you, but if you know someone that needs a miracle. My sister, my daughter-in-law, her brother had a real bad accident on Friday night, I think, or Thursday night. He had brain injuries. He may lose his eye. He's unconscious. He's sitting in Roseville Trauma Center. That family needs a miracle. Why? Because only God can walk in that room right now and do the powerful miracle. Sister Fuentes' family needs a miracle. You may have a family member that's locked up in jail, in prison. Maybe they're in some mental institution or in some drug rehab. They need a miracle, and you are the one. You are the one destined to bring that miracle to fruition through your faith and through your love. But some that have not yet understood the blood of Jesus. Some of you that have sat in this temple, you experienced miracles. You've seen people's lives change, and yet you have not experienced the blood of Jesus in your life. You need it today. You need to come, and you're going to say, Jesus, come into my life. I have the DNA of the enemy. I have the DNA of the flesh. I have the DNA of the world. I want your DNA in my spirit that I may be called a son of God. Would you at least come to this altar and render yourself? Bring somebody. Bring somebody that's hungry for God. Bring somebody that you brought, somebody that's sitting there that needs God. Someone that's going through problems and trials in the name of Jesus. Come, come, come in Jesus' name, please. This is the time that we're offering. This is your destiny is determined by your decision. It's up to you. It's up to me. The blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus. And he gave them power to be called the sons of God, the sons of the living God. This is it today. The blood of Jesus. You're responsible for the blood. You're responsible for the blood. You're responsible for the blood. What are you doing, young man, young woman? You're responsible for that shedding of blood. What are you going to do with it then? Oh, reach out to him. Jesus, help my marriage, help my life, my career. It's my life, the road to redemption. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Sing about it, brother, sing about it. In Jesus' wonderful name. In Jesus' wonderful name. In Jesus' name. The blood upon your children. The blood upon your family. And your relatives. Those that are ill. Those that are sick. Those that are in the hospital. You're locked up in jail. Your parents that are far off. Your mom, your dad. Because the promise is for you. And those that are near. In Jesus' name.
I've been changed in your presence, saved by your power, raised to Jesus. Life abundantly. It was amazing grace. It was amazing grace.
Blood of
it
Jesus.
Was amazing grace.
Oh, the blood of Jesus.
Love saved me.
Oh, those that are near, brother. Those that are
I've
far
been
off.
Changed in your presence.
Those that are near, brother. Those that are
saved
far off.
By your power.
Troubles are the one
to life abundantly.
In Jesus' name.
I've been changed in your presence, saved by your power, raised to life abundantly. It was amazing grace. It was amazing.